This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria. No need to worry. The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.
We're now tuned in to the media ministry of the Mount Olive Baptist Church of Leesville, Louisiana, with Dr. Carl Armstead. Mount Olive Baptist Church is located 808 Anacoco Street in Leesville, Louisiana. We are a church and congregation that honors God, the Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ. We celebrate his death, resurrection, by which all men are saved. Listen now to our man of God and shepherd, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preaches and teaches the Word of God in a service already in progress.
Say the best choir this side of Mason Dixon, because they're missing some voices up there, but they still went on. Amen. Amen. Thank God for the Mount Olive Choir. And we thank God, for you. As we have already said, that God has been good to us, and he's brought each of us from a mighty long way. I know sometimes we think we brought ourselves, but no, it's only God who's able to keep us, God who's able to strengthen us. And so I'm just grateful that he chose me to be a part of his family, that he is my father. He is your father. Amen. Those of you who know him. I would that you turn with me to the last book of the Bible, which is the book of Revelation. The book of my vision gone. Come on back, you listen. The third chapter. The book of Revelation. He's sweet, I know. He's sweet, I know. Strong wind may rise. Storm clouds. Oh, yeah. Orange strong. Wind may blow, but I'll tell the world, Lord, wherever I go, that I found a Savior, and he's sweet, I know. God, our Father, in the name of Jesus, we come. I want to thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for allowing us to assemble once again. Carrying out your command, they say, forsake not to assemble of ourselves together, but we are to come together and encourage one another as we see that day fast approaching. We pray now for the guidance of your Holy Spirit to continue to move in our midst. Grant us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, and in that anointing, grant us preaching power. Let your word go forth with power, lifting up a bow down here, men in a broken heart, and above all, saving a soul. Father, we thank you because you have been good to us, better to us than we've been to ourselves. It is in the strong and mighty name of Jesus the Christ, our Lord, we pray and we thank you. Amen. Third chapter of the book of Revelation. Here we find that the letters to the seven churches. First letter was to the Loveless Church, who had left their first love, and then the persecuted church that God promised that they'd be faithful to give them a crown of life. Then there's the compromising church that is asked to repent. And then there's the dead church. It looked like it's alive, but it's dead. You know, sometimes people gauge churches about how many members or how big the congregation is. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's alive. Are y'all here? And then there is the faithful church. But our text comes from the lukewarm church, the last church. Amen. And we begin reading at verse number 14. And it will read, "And to the angel of the church of the Laodicea, and these things says the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know your works, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were hot or cold. So then, because you are lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth or spew you out of my mouth. Because you say, I am rich, I have become wealthy, and have need of nothing. And do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garment, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed. And anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, and therefore be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens up, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. The grass withers, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hear my voice and open up, I'll come in and sup with him." And so just for a few minutes, I want to talk from the subject, let him in. Let Jesus in. He's knocking on your door. And so let me begin by saying that this message was written to the Laodicean church, which was, as I said, the last of the seven churches in Revelation. Now, the folks in Laodicea are described as being lukewarm in their devotion to God. And my brothers and sisters, this is not good. And in the same way, many who think of themselves as Christians, they fall in the same category. And so let me ask you, would you describe yourself as being genuinely fervent in your Christian walk? Now, the word fervent means to show great warmth, intensity of spirit, or enthusiasm in your love as well as your devotion to Christ. Well, how do you know this? Well, just think of the time spent in Christian activities. Think of the time spent at church, Sunday school, Bible study, and all these things. Think of how you order your priorities. Because if any of us are lukewarm, then we really have the same problem as the Laodicean church had. And if so, in a spiritual sense, we too are also wretched, we are pitiful, poor, blind, and naked, according to verse 17. Like the Laodiceans, we need to respond to his counsel to buy gold from him, because it has been refined in a fire and will make you rich. Buy white clothes from him and wear them to cover up your shameful nakedness. Buy medicine for your eyes so that you will be able to see. He told them that because the Laodiceans were known for their great wealth. But Christ told them to buy gold from him, and then they would have spiritual treasures. And that's really Jesus said, don't lay up all your treasures here upon earth, huh? Where moths can eat them up, thieves can break in, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Amen. And so because all these things that we accumulate here on earth, one day we're going to leave them, or it's going to leave us. Are y'all here with me? Because all they had was fool's gold in their bank accounts. gold from this world with no spiritual or eternal value. And only with Christ's gold would they be rich. And also they had developed a black wool that became famous all over the Roman Empire and was bringing a huge price on. Although they had wealth from their clothing, they were naked and self-centered before God. But Christ told them to purchase white garment, talking about his righteousness from him, so that they would not be ashamed of their nakedness. The Laodiceans also prided itself on a precious eye salve that healed many eye problems in that day. But still, its people were spiritually blind. And so Christ told them to get ointment from him to heal their eyes so that they could see the truth. And we know Jesus tells us in John 9:39, he said, I am here to give sight to the blind and make blind everyone who can see. But here Christ was showing the Laodiceans and us this morning that true value is not in material possessions, but in a right relationship with God. Meaning their possessions and achievements were valueless compared with the everlasting future of Christ's kingdom. And so we need to be rich in Christ, clothed in his righteousness, and have his salve on our eyes so that we can see the truth as well as spiritual realities. So that we'll be able to respond to his love and discipline by repenting and turning wholeheartedly to him with appropriate earnestness and devotion. How? Well, my brothers and sisters, to do this, we need to acquire help from Christ. But there are some things we need to realize in order to receive Christ as spiritual assistant in our lives. And so with your prayers, I'd like to lift three things in your hearing. That we need to realize in order, amen, to acquire the Lord's help as we walk, as we talk, from the subject, let him in. Because somehow a lot of people miss it, but we need to realize, first of all, that Christ has an invitation for you. In other words, he has an invitation for you personally. He wants a personal relationship with you. And notice he has come to your home bringing an offer you must not refuse, an offer you cannot afford to ignore. He's seeking admission into your life. But isn't it astounding that the God of all creation should be looking for us personally? Well, he came in the garden looking for Adam and Eve when they fell into sin. And when we who are saved were lost and alienated from God, guess what? He came looking for us. Now that's love. That's friendship. That's who he is. God has come looking for you this morning. For the Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his own love for toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. And note the text says in verse 20, it says, if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and I will eat with him and he with me. My brothers and sisters, the Almighty God wants to visit and share time in a meal with you. Now, the significance of a meal is fellowship, mutual sharing, good conversation, heart to heart, because you don't generally just sit down and eat with total strangers. Are you here? That's for friends, because the meal is a time for sharing, a time of companionship and help. Someone this morning who may be looking by way of Facebook Live or even in the building, you may feel that nobody cares for me. Well, I stop by to tell you that someone does care. God cares. And so what do friends talk about when they share a quiet meal? Now, some of us may avoid the issue, but close friends talk about their problems, life situations, and the like. And my brothers and sisters, Christ is trying to offer his friendship as well as his help to us. And just think of how many ways he's tried to get our attention, how many ways he's knocked on your door. For the Bible says in Matthew 22:14, he said, for many are invited, but few are chosen. We need a RSVP. And so Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock.
How do we know he's knocking, Brother Brown? Well, whenever your conscience pricks you for something wrong you've done, that's Jesus knocking. When you feel guilty over something you did, that's Jesus knocking. When you feel a longing for wholeness and righteousness, that's Jesus knocking. When you hear his word on the radio or Facebook Live, that's Jesus knocking. When a small child with an innocent and open heart wants to go to church and you wonder why you don't want to go, that's Jesus knocking. When you have a narrow escape from an accident, that's Jesus knocking. When you are a backslider, lost, and someone tries to witness to you to give your life to Christ or encourage you to come back to Christ, that's Jesus knocking. When the word of God reveals your own hidden secrets and nature, and when the secrets of your heart are laid bare by scripture, that's Jesus knocking. When the preacher preaches and the sermon seems like he's talking directly to you, some people say he's picking on me, but that's just Jesus knocking. My brothers and sisters, please don't harden your heart. Don't ignore his calling. Now, you may have selected hearing with some, but please don't shut God out when he knocks on the door of your heart, because this may be your last chance. Why I say that? Because the Bible says appointed unto men once to die, and after that comes judgment. And don't nobody in you know when we're going to go home. That's why you need to let him in. Now, most of us don't just open the door for anyone that comes along, but Jesus is not just anyone with something to sell for personal gain. He's the one that is genuinely interested in our welfare, as well as he's there to genuinely help us in every aspect of our life. And so, my brothers and sisters, you need to realize that Christ has an invitation for you. And then secondly, we need to realize the value of the invitation. My brothers and sisters, Christ is offering us fellowship, and we need to consider the advantages of such a friend. Consider the power, the guidance, the protection, and the help. Because there is a reason scripture said that he will be called, according to Isaiah 9:6, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. If President Biden would come and knock on your door, even those who didn't even vote for him maybe have changed your mind yet, you would eagerly open your door and invite him in, because you would be honored that the President of the United States stopped by your house. But he has one far, far greater than any president or any earthly king. He's the one who is the power, the resurrection, and the life. His government will never end or fail. Note again, Isaiah tells us in Isaiah 9:7, he declares of the increase of his government and the peace there shall be no end, because he has authority in heaven as well as on earth. And he's offering you and me to be a part of it, a part of his glory and peace. Here Christ is offering essential discipline. Notice he says in verse 19, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. And my brothers and sisters, this scolding and discipline is really a form of training to help you and me to grow and mature and to what we should be. Such training is a show of love, because in the same way we ourselves rebuke and we discipline those whom we love, we show them how to do things they need to know and correct them when they are wrong. But Christ is not just offering essential discipline, he's offering his help. But sometimes we don't realize that we need his help. So the question is, what's going on in your life that you don't know about that you need Christ's help? Because in the text, the Laodiceans are in trouble and they don't even realize it. They thought, according to verse 16, that they were rich and they increased in goods and they had nothing, a need for anything. But they didn't realize that they were wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. They didn't realize that they were neither hot nor cold, but they were lukewarm. And the Bible says when you're lukewarm, God will spew you out of his mouth. In the same way, many of us think we got it going on and we don't need anything. but you are unaware that on the inside your life perhaps could be filled with strife, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions, envy, and the lack. In other words, you have become lukewarm, and you don't realize it because perhaps your focus is more on self and physical things rather than on the things of God and spiritual things. And so you are unaware of the fact that your life could be filled with love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Because maybe you've never seen it like that. Or maybe you don't realize that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. The heaven will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And that's why we ought to live a disciplined and a godly life as we look forward to the day of the Lord, because it's coming with a lot of speed. We don't know when it could come today. Are y'all here with me? And maybe you haven't realized that this isn't really our home. We are only passing through. And you can look forward to a new heaven and a new earth. Are you here? A home of righteousness. Now, I can't speak for you, but I Lord knows I need some help. I need some spiritual help. I know you don't need. Now, I need me some, huh? We all do. And so once you know that someone is knocking at your door requesting interest into your life, and once you realize that it is Jesus Christ and he's offering good and valuable help, you need to do something about it, and that is let him in. We must respond to Christ's invitation. You need to hear his voice. Now, listening may require you to slow down a little bit. Like Elijah didn't hear the voice of God in the storm, nor did he hear it in the violent wind, but he heard it in a still, small voice. And that's why we need to pay attention when we hear of the nature of God and of God's love for you. Listen when Jesus in his parable speak to your heart. Notice say, he who has ears, let him hear. But you must choose to hear and be willing to hear. This is your part as well as my part. Don't be like the Pharisees who couldn't hear because of the hardness of their heart. But be determined to hear him when he speaks the truth. Even if it seems harsh to you, you ought to hear him. When he warns you of the wrath to come and urges you to repentance, you ought to hear him. When he says lukewarm doesn't get it because God will spit you out of his mouth. If you're lukewarm, you ought to hear him. Become passionate, get serious when he calls his sheep by name. Become alert and follow him. When he offers rescue and health and well-being and green pastures and rest, you ought to hear him. When he explains mysteries and lays out the way to heaven, you ought to hear him. When he tells, oh shucks, how folks ought to conduct themselves in the household of God, you ought to hear him. And open the door to your life. But note, if you will, that Christ doesn't force his way into our lives, but he come to you with an offer of loving fellowship. But it must be freely accepted, because salvation is an offer and not something imposed upon us. But like a tsunami, Christ is coming, and he's going from door to door and heart to heart to warn people, but many won't open the door. Now he sees you peeking out, but you won't respond. And yet he can help us, and we need what Christ has. We need what he's offering. And it's not a hard sales approach, but it's an offer. Note verse 18 says, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. But you must choose to purchase them. Now, in one sense, it's without cost because salvation is free. And you can't buy it. You can only accept it. Yet there is a sense in which it must be purchased because we swap out our lives for salvation, meaning we hand our lives over to him for safekeeping. In other words, we died to self that we might live for him. And so in one sense, it costs you your life. But since we're dead spiritually anyway, when we're lost, it really didn't cost us anything. But it gains us life. And so not only are we to open the doors of our lives, but we must also welcome him into our lives. Make him feel like a welcome guest with cleanliness, with holiness, purity, and preparedness, earnesty, as well as repentance. And be not only ready and willing to make appropriate changes in your life, but also eager to make them. For we note verse 19 said, be zealous and repent. And so, my brothers and sisters, I tell you that as I try and move to the close, that Jesus is knocking at your door. He's knocking at the door of your heart. And so you ought to let him in. Because Christ has important things to tell you as well as share with you. So you ought to welcome him with your attentive obedience. Do what he says in his word. Listen to his advice. Take his counsel and guidance. If you haven't done it yet, you ought to ask him to be the Lord of your life and the captain of your soul. Submit to him in faith that is expressed in baptism and earnest obedience. My brothers and sisters, we need Jesus to be right with God. We need his help. We need him to sit down at meal and share with fellowship with us so that we can be right with God. Because to survive this life and enter into heaven, we need Christ's help. Why do we need Christ's help? Because the Bible says he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. And so in summary, the church at Laodicea had become apathetic in their love for Christ. They had become like many today who, according to Mark 4:19, allowing the deceitfulness of wealth and desire for other things to come and choke out the word, making them unfruitful. And like in the text, Christ is calling for repentance and for us to live zealous for him. I can hear old man Joshua crying out. He said, you need to choose this day whom you will serve. I can't speak for you, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. But you got to let him in. You got to let Jesus into your heart. And so in closing, I say again, he said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anybody hear my voice and open up,